Greetings to each one this morning. This morning, my topic is going to be on compassion. And Walter, when you said about your coffee, I think there's some others of us here can feel your pain. We've been there. So if you ever get by one of our places or something, drop in. We'll get you a cup of coffee. It's not a problem. This morning, I'm going to do something a little different. I haven't done this in a while, and I've done it a couple times, and then it's been quite a while, so I decided to do something a little different this morning. And I want to do something for the children and have something for them to start with. And so I'm going to come down to the front, and the children, you can come forward. You can sit on the front bench. And whoever wants to be a child can come on up. That's totally fine. If you don't consider yourself a child and you don't come up, you're fair game. So you might get picked on in the next week, months, however long. So I did a little bit of something like this for the school, for chapel. It's a little off spin of it. It's not quite the same. So there's a couple of them that might know what it's coming. I was thinking about it. I was kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm going to do this because I did it for chapel, right? And then I got thinking, I was like, well, I think some of them were out sick, so I'm not sure. There's a couple of them that have done it, but I'm not sure how many of them. So this morning, I'm going to read a story. It's a little short story out of Luke. Now, how many of you children have tried to get your brother or your sister, you ask them a question trying to trap them? There's a couple of them here that have. Well, the story that we're reading this morning, there was a man. His name was called, we don't know his name. They just said he was a lawyer. And they tried to trap Jesus. And then Jesus told the story that we're going to read this morning. The story comes out of Luke 10. And it starts in verse 25. It says, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test or try to trap him. And the teacher said, and he said to Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus asked him a question. He said, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Now, because this man was a lawyer, he understood the law pretty well. So he knew all, like in the Old Testament, where they had all the laws, what they were allowed to do and not to do. He understood that really well. And he told Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, and with all your strength and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But then he wanted to even go a little bit further, and he wanted to kind of make himself look all right. Okay, so then he said he wanted to justify himself, and he said, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus told this story. Jesus said, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Does anybody know what the Jericho Road looked like? It was like going up a mountain. How many of you have ever traveled from here to Ohio or that way and gone? Any of you know what Fancy Gap looks like? So Fancy Gap is about 3,100 feet of elevation. That's how much it goes from the bottom going up. That's how high. There's a lot of elevation, okay? But if you're driving on the road, trucks can't hardly go. Sometimes your car can barely go. Sometimes they overheat and can't make the top. That's only 6 miles. Now, the Jericho Road is about 15 miles, so it's about three times as long. But that's how much from the bottom to the top, that's how high it was from Jerusalem to Jericho. So that kind of gives you a little idea how the road was. The road was narrow, it was rocky, a lot of curves, dangerous caves, so people could hide robbers. It was a dangerous road to walk on. So it was dangerous for them to go this way, and then this man was robbed. Next of all, in the story, there was a priest that came by, and he came by, and he just walked by on the other side. Now, do you know what the priest was to do? The priest was kind of like maybe your preacher. He was to look out for you. He was actually their connection between God and the people, because they didn't have Jesus living in their heart at that time. They had to go to the temple, and they would get their sacrifices offered. That was the way they were forgiven for their sins. But he just passed by on the other side. And then the Levite came by, and he was of the same group, so he was actually the same. He wasn't quite like the priest, but he actually did the same work as the priest, and he did the same thing. And next of all, who came by? A Samaritan. Who is a Samaritan? Were they good people? All people are good, right? Did the Jews think they were good people? No, they didn't get along, did they? If you were this lawyer, you'd have said, ah, Samaritan, here's the trouble. They actually would have blamed the Samaritans for that type of thing. They would have actually, sometimes, did any of you have ever, brother or sister, done something and you're like, or you think they did it, and you say, they're the one that's at fault, and you don't even know if it is or not. You blame somebody and they weren't, you don't even know if it was them or not. That's kind of what would happen here in this story. They would blame the Samaritans because they didn't like them. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he set him on his animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took 2 denarii. Sorry, I lost my place. And he gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever you spend more, I will repay when you come back. Do you know how much a denarii was? Any idea about how much that was? 1 denarii was about a day's wage. So that means, has your dad ever given 2 days' wages to somebody that was hurt along the road? It was quite a bit of money to give away, wasn't it? But he didn't just give them money, did he? He also gave them his time. It says that he took him back to the inn, which means it messed up his whole schedule. Now they're a day behind. If you got stuff scheduled, you got to reschedule everything. Everything's backed up now. But it says he took him to the inn, and it says on the next day, he gave him the money, and then he left. He gave him a lot. But then on top of that, yet he said, now when I come back, I will stop, and if it costs you any more than that, I'll pay that yet too. He was really generous, wasn't he? You know, when somebody gets hurt now, what do you do? If you're driving along, you see an accident, you'd stay there and try to help when you can, right? The ambulance gets there, right? And then you send them off in the ambulance, and you're on to work. You're on to do your thing, right? He was the ambulance. He picked the person up. He bandaged him as best he could. And then he took him back to a place to take care of him. He didn't even know the person. So this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit more later, I'm going to talk some more on compassion. But first of all, there's one thing I want you all to remember. There was a quote that I came across. And if you forget everything else, remember this quote. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. So no matter how small you think it might be that you do something kind, it's never wasted. Now, I have something this morning for each one of you. And on the back, there is something written on it. And I don't care what you do with it, except you can't use it on yourself. You can put it beside your bed on your dresser to remind you to be kind. Or if you see someone that is hurting and you see an act of kindness that you can help someone, you can use it. You can buy a card. Should be about enough to buy a meal for somebody. And actually, I'll tell a story later on towards the end of my sermon today about that. So you can listen for that later. I don't care how you use it, except that I want to do something good for somebody else, okay? Now, here's where we're going to get the rest of them involved, okay? So I'm going to give you one for everybody else that's in here, okay? And I want you to go make sure everybody has one of them. Now, what I want you to do is next week, next month, I don't really care. Or you could do it every week for the next year. I don't care. But I want you to find somebody in here and you ask them what they've done with that. So I want everybody else here as well to find an act of kindness, to have compassion. I have written on the back, for those of you that can't read, it says, have compassion, and it says Luke 10:37. Because Jesus said at the very end of this story, he asked the man, he said, who was the neighbor? And the man said, to him that showed mercy. And then Jesus said to them, go and do likewise. And I think Jesus is still telling us the same way today. We're supposed to have compassion, show kindness today. So I'm going to give you each some, and I want you to carry them out and make sure everybody gets one. And then as the weeks go by, whenever you want to, and you can do this whenever you want to, you can pick up, you can just decide whenever you want to ask anybody in here and see what they've done, okay? And make sure that they're following up and they're doing acts of kindness, okay? All right, so you can go pass those out, and then you can go back to your parents, and we're going to talk some more about compassion, and you can listen to the rest from up here. While they're passing those out, I'll go ahead and start into it here. This last week we were traveling, and as we were traveling, my mind was going, I've kind of been considering doing something like this, and we were actually in Indiana when I heard about the floods in Kentucky. And you think about the people there that lost their homes, lost their places. Of course, at about the same time, you know, you have the earthquakes that happened in Venezuela, and you know, they just speculate how many people, and I think it's close to 3,000 people now, and it just keeps climbing, that have lost their life in the disasters. And my mind, when you hear these things, my mind go out. Is there anybody else that didn't get one? If you didn't get one, raise your hand. And did you get one, Scott? Do you want? Okay. You're not gonna get out of it that easy. I understand. And that's part of my story, because I ended up there on the way home, and you know, I said, well, there's mine, but now it's not going to excuse me. You're welcome to come to me at any time, and I will tell you, children, at any time, you're welcome to come and ask me. It's good for me to know that someone can come and ask me and see what for impact, how am I doing, am I making a difference, because we get busy, and before we know it, we forget. Everything's just about what I have to get done for myself today. Thinking of the compassion of these people that have lost everything, and so that's kind of directed my mind towards compassion. If we look at the setting, just go back to the setting just a little bit. We look at the priest, we look at the Levite, and we kind of give them a bad rap. They pass by on the other side. But I wonder if it was you and I, and it affected us the way it would have affected them, how much different you and I would have been. If we understand the duties and the law of what the priest was to govern by, in this case, the priest was not to touch a dead body. Now, it varied a little bit from you had the high priest, and then you had the priest, and then you had the Levites. They were all the priestly family, but they all had a little different. The high priest was very strict. He was not able to touch any dead body. He wasn't allowed to mourn even the closest of his family. Then the priest was not allowed to touch anybody except for immediate family, as far as a dead body goes. All of them, if they were to see you beside the road, as they would have saw this man that was beaten and robbed with blood, if they were to touch it automatically, they would have been unclean for 7 days. They would have had to go through a purification process. So if they had duties to do in the temple, then their duties would have been suspended, and either they would have been short-staffed and somebody else would have to pick it up, or else they wouldn't have been able to offer the sacrifices that for the people that were coming. So as we look at that, it can create a lot of excuses, a lot of reasons. Be like, well, hey, you know, while I sacrifice it here, I sacrifice a lot on the other end. You know, I mean, I can just imagine you, and I can imagine me. I'll put myself right there, that, you know, all the excuses why I wouldn't be able to do this, why I couldn't help them and pass by on the other side. So this morning, I just want to look into the word compassion just a little bit. The definition: the emotional response, recognizing another's suffering and feeling a strong desire to relieve it. It is rooted from the Latin word, and this comes from the definition off of Google, but it rooted from the Latin word to suffer together. And it differs from empathy, which empathy simply involves sharing someone's feelings, and compassion is sharing and making a difference. In Acts 1, verse 3, after Jesus had resurrected from the dead, he came back to see his disciples. And for the first 40 days, he spent time coming back and talking to the believers. And it says in Acts 1, verse 3, it says he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Then in verse 6 of that same chapter, they ask him, Lord, will you this time restore the kingdom to Israel? To which Jesus replied, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And I want to look out there, pull out that word witnesses in Jerusalem and to the end of the earth. In that, if you were to look up that word witnesses, the Amplified says to tell people about me. They talked about the kingdom for days, and then he told them that they will go out and they will show the people what the kingdom is like. How are you? How am I going to show the people around us what the kingdom is like? How do we do that? If we look at Jesus, he is our perfect example. How did he show those that he met what the kingdom was like? So this morning, I want to take a little time and just go down through some of the stories of Jesus. I'm not going to turn to them all. I will give the references to you. If you want to jot them down, you look them up later, that's fine. I won't have enough time to read through all the different ones. And this is by no means exhausting all the places where Jesus showed compassion. It isn't. There's only a few of them here compared to all of them in Scripture. And so I'm sure you'll think of some on your own. But first one I had down, they're not in any certain order either. The first one I have down is of the reading, the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14. And I'm going to look at, and while I tell you about the story, I'm also going to, for there's some of them anyhow, Jesus was going through some things. Sometimes we find ourselves going through something, and I'm not saying that every time that we're going through something, we're just supposed to keep stacking stuff on. I'm not saying that. But sometimes I can use that as an excuse. I'm like, well, I've got all this going on. I just don't have time for this, or I can't do this right now. And sometimes it's an excuse, and sometimes it's not. And we have to decide between that. But here in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus had just found out that John the Baptist was beheaded. If you look in the, you look at it, it'll say that the disciples came to him and told him that they had seen it, and then they had actually buried John the Baptist, and it says they came and told Jesus. And he says, when he heard this, he got into a boat, and they headed to the other side. But the people followed him, and it says that Jesus had pity, or he felt compassion because of the crowd. And so he healed it. It says he healed their sick, and then he had compassion that they were hungry, and he fed them. Even while he was dealing with things himself, Jesus felt compassion. In Matthew 8:5, we read about the centurion. Now, the centurion here would have been a Gentile, so it would not have been part of the Jewish. So, again, we could have said, well, you're not part of the called, so it doesn't apply to you. And yet, for those that believed and those that came to Jesus and believed in him, Jesus showed compassion. Jesus actually said in this case, he said that I haven't seen this great a faith in all of Israel. When he told the centurion, I'll come to your house and heal your servant, the centurion said, I have people that are under me, but I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. And that's when Jesus said, I haven't seen that great a faith. And he had compassion on him and said, go, your servant will be healed. In Mark chapter 1:40, we have the man with leprosy. He's an outcast. He's avoided by society. If they were to go somewhere as a leper, they had to call out leper, and everybody knew to stay away from them, to clear the way. And yet, when he called out, Jesus touched him. He had compassion. He stretched forth his hand and healed him. You know, Jesus could have said, that's fine. I mean, we just talked about the one just before this, the centurion. He didn't go over there to heal him. He just said, go, he'll be healed. Jesus could have said, be healed. And yet, Jesus reached out and he touched him. And he said, be healed. Then in John 8, verse 10 to 11, we have the woman that was caught in adultery. The crowds were ready to stone her. They were ready to kill someone who had done something wrong. But Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't justify the wrong. He didn't ignore it. But he had compassion and offered forgiveness. In Matthew 20, 30 to 34, were the blind men outside of Jericho. They were calling to Jesus to come and to heal them, or calling out Jesus' name, calling for him. And the crowd was telling them to be quiet. They had something else to do. Ignore him. Nobody seemed to care. But it says Jesus had pity, compassion. He stopped, he touched their eyes, and healed them. Then you have the one in Luke 7, 11 to 15. It was the widow of Nain. Jesus was moving along, walking along, and there was a widow. So she had lost her husband, and now her only son had passed away. And they were on the funeral procession headed to bury her only son. And it doesn't say that she asked for anything. It doesn't say that she called to Jesus. But Jesus saw this woman, and he had compassion. He felt her pain. He felt what she was going through. And he stopped them, and he raised her son to life. Then in Mark 10, verse 13, we have the story where the disciples when the children were coming to see Jesus and they were turning them away, they rebuked the children and they said, "Let him alone, he's busy." But it says he was indignant toward the disciples. He wanted the children to come. He had compassion. He loved the children. He loved each one. But he told them to come. And he took them in his arms and he blessed them. He had compassion on them. And then last but not least, in Luke 23:34, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, and Jesus called out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." For those that had accused him, those that had beaten him, those that had nailed him to the cross, those that were mocking him, you and I. He says, "Father, forgive them." He had compassion. You know, Jesus showed it throughout his ministry. It didn't matter what he was going through. It didn't matter what he was facing, and it didn't matter who it was. Jesus had compassion. It didn't matter if they were rich. It didn't matter if they were beggars. They were strong or if they were weak. Jesus' compassion is to all mankind. How do you and I live our life? Do we show compassion? I want to turn to Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. It's been several weeks ago, I read these verses, and a new thought came to me I had never thought of before as I read them. And actually, as I got studying, it was interesting to me because as you do a cross-reference, it actually cross-references right back to the Good Samaritan, to the story of the Good Samaritan. But it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come you, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, and welcome you, or naked, and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' The king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick or in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did you see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." As I read that those verses, the thought that came to me was the very fact that everyone has the opportunities sitting around them. I heard someone say that compassion is in the DNA of a born-again Christian. If you look up Google, compassion. Of course, Google's always right, but looked up compassion by Google, and actually there was something that it said there that was that I really did like. And it said, compassion is like a muscle that can be strengthened. It went on to say, practices like loving kindness, active listening, volunteering can build our natural capacity to respond to the needs of others. You know, I heard some of the guys from camp, they were building their muscles. They were heard a little bit of talk how they would do push-ups and I forget what they call it, but it sounded pretty brutal. I said, well, that's not for old men like me, that's for sure. But they're building their muscles. How are you and I building the muscle of compassion? We will soon find, and like that, you each got a $10 bill this morning. It's not going to alleviate the needs of the world. It'd be nice if it would. But the idea is that we would be, it will remind us to look, to be on the lookout for people that we can show compassion to be kind. And I was going to say that, I forgot to say that earlier. I was going to say, to all of you, I don't care what you do with it. If you see someone that needs a meal, you're welcome to use it, whatever you want to do with it. But just a reminder of showing compassion day by day. When you show compassion to someone, it is showing them what the kingdom of God is like, because He is compassion. I said I was going to tell a story of what happened this week, and so children, here you go. This week we were traveling, and we were on the way home. We stopped for lunch, and of course, when you're traveling and you have 13 hours, who wants to sit and, you know, it's like, get back in the van, let's go, you know? And so we get our lunch, and we walk outside, and guess what? There's a homeless. He comes from across the way, and he's homeless, and of course, they want money, and you know, the simplest thing would have been to pull that $10 bill out. Here's your $10 bill. I need to be on the road. That would have been a whole lot easier, but I don't generally hand out the money. I will offer to buy him a meal. I argued with myself for a second. I was like, well, just do it this time. It's like, because let's just get moving. But instead, I walked back inside, and I asked him, I said, what would you like? I'll go buy you something to eat. What do you want to eat? And he goes, it's too hot to eat. I'll just take a drink. So I went inside and bought him the biggest drink they had and came back out and handed it to him. And in that little bit of time, then I had a chance to just ask him if he believed in Christ and if he was born again. And he said he was, and he believes that God can do anything, and God can get him that ticket. He was looking for a bus ticket. I didn't see a bus stop around there, but that's okay. But the point was, it would have been the simplest just to hand the money to him and not take the time. And as I thought of this story, the Good Samaritans, I said, you know, it's not all about money. It's about showing compassion. And I could have been just like that priest in that minute. And I've been there plenty of times that I've been just like that, where I will walk by quickly on the other side. What are you, what am I doing to show compassion? There's a quote that said this, "We can't heal the world today, but we can begin." I'm sorry. "We can't heal the world today, but we can begin with a voice of compassion, a heart of hope, and an act of kindness." I'll read it again. "We can't heal the world today, but we can begin with a voice of compassion, a heart of hope, and an act of kindness." May God bless each of you as you show the compassion of our Savior to those you meet day by day. And I look forward to hearing. I might be one of the, I was up here with the children, so I might be one of those. I might come around and ask too. When I did this with school, I actually asked them, I said, if you're welcome to come back, I would love to hear what you found, who you found to give it to, who you found to show compassion to. And I heard a little bit from it, and it was good. And I said, you know what, I think it'd be good for all of us to be involved in it and to be pushed a little bit to show that compassion. So you're welcome to come back. Children, when you find out, you can come back and tell me what you found out from the older ones. How's that? But may God bless each of you as you show compassion from day to day. May we, as we go through life, show the people around us what the kingdom of God is like by having compassion. Walter, do you have a song? All right, 570 in the Faith and Praise, and you can stand. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you today. Thank you, Jesus, for your compassion, your life of compassion that you showed as you walked on this earth, and you showed compassion to so many different people, the hurting, those that were rich. You showed compassion to just so many, and there's many that we didn't even talk about this morning. But God, just Jesus, thank you for showing that compassion, that life of compassion. God, I pray that you would help us as we go through life to build that muscle of compassion, to show that to others, that others could see how good you are. So God, I just pray for each one here. Pray that you would bless each one. And as we go from here, may we walk in a way that'll bring honor and glory to you. So we just ask you to go with us this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Each day I'll do a bold and deep by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a sketch, and so I'll do the best I can. Thank you.